Oh, okay. Well, it's really struggling. Let's get this way. I'm really struggling with the phone for recording this morning. It's the afternoon walk now. And, I think I figured out what a little glyph means on the phone. Because it charged all night, in fact, the TV, the car, left the power turned on in the car. I was surprised the thing even started up this morning, but it did, it was fine. But then I went and got the phone, I left it out in the car that night, last night, and it didn't, come on. And so I was a little concerned about that. Oh, I found a bird. Anyway, so I ended up using the other one, so the sound quality on the last recording is going to be really sad because of the phone I use, you know. The new phone doesn't do these recordings very well. The old phone, this phone, is absolutely, you know, it's beautiful. As beautiful as it can be, you know, given wind and things like that. And I found out that the thing had a sensor in there to let it know that the battery was cold, and lithium batteries do not do well cold, period. In fact, they're kind of explosive. So, it's got a little thing in there to stop that from happening. I think that's what happened, is the battery froze up. And, so we've got it back. It's at full charge here. And, we'll kind of see how it goes. God, I'm seeing a lot of road runners right now. In fact, one of the farm dogs came by with a bird in his mouth, and I think it was a roadrunner. So, pretty interesting stuff. I've been watching in between this and that and that and this old show that got canceled quite a while ago. Actually, I don't think it got through the first season. I think it was only a partial. And Commander-in-Chief got Gina Davis in it, playing the first female president. And I find it very interesting that they try to portray her as a Democrat. I mean, as an independent, and that is Bert okay? Uh-oh. We've got one seriously damaged bird here. He doesn't know what to do. I think he's really screwed up. I have to let the coyote to the dogs take care of the bird. I can't take care of the bird. It's got enough trouble. Pretty typical Hollywood job, you know. They paint her as an independent, although she's very democratic. Everybody had told her that she was a publicity stunt vice president. You know, they had done it to try to get soccer moms and stuff like that. And it looked like the president of the United States was gonna gonna die. He had an aneurysm that ultimately killed him. But he had told her to resign so that somebody that was more in line with what the party wanted and what the president wanted would be there, you know, because most people look at vice presidents more as props, you know, made to fill in where you have failings as a presidential candidate. You know, your vice president's supposed to try to back you up or bring in votes that you suck at or whatever. It's been really quite interesting to watch this show. I find I have kind of a thing about it because it's so it's so softball on what could be considered democratic things, and it really paints Republicans as you know, evil, you know, double dealing, calculating. Just horrible, 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 you know. And, of course, the truth of the show, I'm sure, could just pass the whole thing off as it's just that one guy. Not all Republicans are like that. And you go, you portray them all like, says the only good Republican is one that basically, you know, says, well, I really do believe like a Democrat, but I had to be a Republican because it's the only way I can get elected type stuff. You know, and it's like, oh, God, give me a break. You know, that all Republicans think about is power, 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 power. And I'm not saying that they don't, but you know what? I'm sorry. The Democrats are not clean. And this whole little shenanigan about saying, oh, we'll call her an independent. Yeah. And you go, there are no independents. There are no independents in Congress. None. Says, the one you had was elected as a Democrat. And he chose to become an independent. And he won once as independent, and he didn't even try running again, knowing that he was going to get destroyed. And it's like, you've got to be kidding me. You know? So, I find the whole thing to be a little, a little weird, a little slanted. You know? I know somebody was talking about the fact that we'd be able to, they were all planning for how they would handle a re-election and stuff like that, and how that would kind of come off. because she was 2 years into the last administration when she became president. So in 2 years she would have to stand and as the incumbent. And I don't know how many of those guys have done. I don't know who made it happen. Trying to remember. Did Johnson do it? I think Johnson did it. I think he actually got reelected after assuming the presidency. Although you haven't had very many people that have assumed the presidency. Certainly not modern. So there's really not a whole lot of stuff to kind of do. And then there's all this fun stuff about she's a woman, she's married to a guy who's kind of a wheeler-dealer type of guy that was her chief of staff for the longest time. And you know, I find it interesting because you're going through all these weird conflicts and you're going, wouldn't they have worked this out before now? You know, you have handlers, you have all this stuff, you know, and part of the show has to do with, you know, it's one of those shows that has so many, has and plays so many different threads that it really kind of keeps you freaking out. And you're going, how on earth is this woman this competent? You know, when you first saw her, she seemed to be a little bumbling, you know, for just saying, oh, you know, oh, whatever, sure, I'll do whatever you say, or, hey, boss, or, hey, what's, you know, and it's like, you know, and I think they try to play it off by saying, yes, yeah, she was the chancellor of a major university in the United States. An academic, and frankly, I think the whole thing is kind of what's a good word, a good way to say it. The whole thing seems a little. It seems to have too much of a setup to it, and it is definitely, you know, a liberal-minded sort of setup. But it's really interesting because they actually have her taking some interesting, you know, I think they try to play that independent card sometime, a little bit weird, and it's being done in a way that a Democrat would use to try to seem like they're working against the aisle or they are a certain way, you know, where the Republican speaker played by Donald Sutherland was so just gross and evil. And I think they were trying to give him some kind of they tried to soften up a little bit. His wife came in at some point and you know, paints, and he is painted as kind of a human being, and you're going, well, what? You know, so it's really incongruous, you know. And I can see why the show, even though it seemed to be rating pretty decently, it was lacking a little bit of focus. And it does say that just shortly before it died, they brought in a new showrunner, Stephen Bochco, I think. You know, heavy hitter Hollywood dude. A guy that produces gripping, hard-hitting shows, you know. And he was brought in to take this thing over, and it just kind of died because there was a bit of a lull there. And I forget why the lull was caused, but it was. And so, and it kind of died right there. And I guess my first thought on it is, I'm not surprised it died. Because it was wandering all over the place. And how, and how people should be reacting to it. And who they were trying to pander to. And I think it was just all over the place. And in being all over the place, and in her not being some kind of consistent, you know, I think she played the typical stereotype of an independent all over the place and kind of saying we can't really pin down where her principles are, you know. It's like she isn't a person, she is some kind of weird symbol, you know. She comes home and she's this wonderful mom who sits on the side of her husband and tries not to talk about the problems of the United States because she's the president, and how much dad, who should have figured this out over time, or who should have figured out before now, is still struggling with it, you know, because he's getting shoved into the, well, they were trying to shove him into the first lady slot, and it really becomes very obvious that that this isn't going to work for him. He's a big time political operative, and he does some, you know, he's good at what he does. So we're going to see. And there's some, I haven't gone very far, there's something brewing with the vice president, which is kind of an upright, he was the vice presidential challenger when the current president was running as vice president, and they had the vice president's debate. And it's really interesting because nobody listens to those. All this stuff coming out, and you're going, oh, you know. It seems to come up that you know, everybody's playing stunts. You kind of see people being suckers and not being suckers and things like that, and I can already see that the current press secretary might have to step down pretty quickly because she's just, you know, she's doing playing stuff, you know, she's starting to become a player, and it's going to reflect badly on the presidential mantra of, you know, of her being really upfront and being really sincere, and that wins the day, you know. I think what what the producers are trying to produce is a super Democrat, you know. One that isn't so, you know, one that doesn't have all the flaws of a typical Democrat, you know. One that actually is successful. And you really do kind of wonder how this thing ever happened. You know, you say, well, she was for the soccer moms. And you go, you must not think much of soccer moms, because soccer moms wouldn't be going for this person. You know, the soccer moms were quasi-Republican. The soccer moms cared about home and hearth, but they were also very, very fiscally conservative about what was going to work and what wasn't going to work. You know, it was the first time when people thought women really mattered, when they just weren't going to vote alongside their husbands and just double his vote, you know. Let me pause it here for a sec. Can I go to the bathroom? Okay. So, I never really understood the whole soccer mom thing, you know. But I think they kind of warped into, and most people think that they were all single mothers, and that's what made them different, is that they weren't beholden to a man, you know. They didn't necessarily vote the way their daddy did, you know. So, I've always been confused about it, and I can't be surprised that other people aren't really confused about the whole thing. That they felt like that a hawkish Republican wouldn't score just as well among soccer moms as he will with anybody else. Anyway, so yeah, in watching this show, you know, you are introduced to the kind of just blatant bias that the modern liberal progressive type of guy, you know, really has that baggage, and they can't really get shy of it, you know. You know, it's true when you have people who can play that and play that well that don't believe it for a second, you know. I said, that's why you really need to get, I think it's important to get actors who are authentically like this, or have those authentic loyalties, and do it. I think doing a reality show of backroom dealing in Washington would be a really compelling thing. But I said the only problem is there's been no way to cancel out Hollywood's deep, deep, deep liberal bias. Deep literal bias. Liberal bias, pardon me. You know, and that tends to be the death knell for these shows. Liberals love these shows. They just love them and said, oh man, why couldn't our president be like this? Why couldn't it all work this way, you know? And Republicans can't stand looking at it. Number one, because they're always the villain. And you're going, you know what? I said, I'm not a villain. I love my family. And it isn't incongruous that I love my family. And I know every liberal says, yeah, I don't know how they sleep at night. They're just such horrible, wretched, nasty people. And you're going, yes, you portray us as that. And then when you say, well, I want to bring out that they authentically love their wives and their children, it seems a little, it's jarring. In fact, in this case, when he came up, I was like going, well, this is interesting. But it was jarring. And I'm sure they go, oh, he's just, you know, as much as he manipulates everybody else on Capitol Hill, being the brazen, hussy Republican that he is, I can't think but that he does the same thing to his wife and plays her for a sucker and in political games and stuff like that. And you're going, you people really are quite sick. I am a proponent, have been for quite some time, of a two-state solution. I think the United States of America should split into two pieces. Because we're constantly being driven into two different directions. I don't know which side I'd want to be on. I don't think I want to be on either side. I think I would want to change country altogether. You know, when people say, well, where'd you from? Which side are you on? You go, I'm not on either side. I can't stand either one of them. I think the Republicans don't want the union to split in half because I think we would lose our place as the lone superpower. And that Republicans can't stomach that. And I am indifferent to it. I don't think that we are really having that kind of problem. I think the Democrats don't want to have a separation and will likely start a war over, you know, the whole PC over, you know. We don't want anything bad to happen. We don't want anything to be peaceful. I think you'll see them turn and go, no, we have to invade. We have to bring them back in at gunpoint if we have to. Because of one simple thing. Republicans make the money. Republicans bring in the tax dollars. It's like saying, let's take most of the productive people in our country. Let's alienate the crap out of them. And watch them leave, and you go, your welfare state will fall apart in 5 minutes. Just because you won't have any money coming in. Because it is true, you know. People say that Mitt Romney's biggest faux pas when he was running for president in 2012 was that they caught him on camera making a comment about 47% of Americans are takers. And he says, I'm not even trying to appeal to them. They're already bought and paid for. They have given their souls to Barack Obama because they think he is going to be able to give them everything they want, you know, that they can have a big screen television for free if they vote for Barack Obama. And trust me, if Barack Obama thought it would help and if he thought he could get enough money together to do it, he would give all of them a big screen television tuned to one channel, his. Anyway, you know, so I am for a two-state solution that doesn't include me, and that's always been one of the more interesting things about myself, is the fact that I fight for an America that would probably shoot me, you know, that would probably euthanize me, given the way I am, given the way my children are, you know. I've always worked hard to be productive as opposed to consumptive. It's always been really important to me to be on that side of things. And if there was real liberty, how I would fare. You know. So. I'm always working my way out of a job. I'm always preaching my own demise. And I hope I don't just do that to try to sound more sincere, because I don't. You know, I would rather live in a freer place with less government pressing down on you. But knowing that when the final calculation comes in, I might be on the wrong side of that ledger. Being more of a taker than a giver. And that I needed to go to some place with a little more balance to it. And let me tell you, the United States is not that place. You know? Polarized. No present recent history has been able to ride both sides of that line. And circumstance where we've got on this television show, this commander-in-chief, you have somebody who I think the producer would have liked to have said that it was somebody who could ride both sides of that line. But the problem is, built-in Hollywood bias, which really just can't seem to be overcome, you know. The only good governance is an intrusive, you know. It is the question of, should the government get involved? The question is which part of government should invade and, you know, what kind of political hay can be made one way or another about that. So, and I, you know, so when I finally came back from watching the show a little bit, and I'll probably watch it until it finally ends here, and unfortunately I don't think it will come to a decent conclusion, even on a simple level, because I think it died it died a very weird death. All, you know, it was just like that ex-president, that former president's aneurysm, you know. Totally unexpected, out of the blue, it just kind of happened. And you just have to live with that thing. And there it is, you know. I probably the first one season, not even one season, it was a half a season, I think it was only like 13 shows at most, was a Journeyman, which is a weird title. I think it was a weird title. I thought the show itself was kind of fun. I think it was pretty decently constructed. And it kind of knew where its break points were, and it played to that break point, you know. It was, you know, the actual show, even though it was very short, it certainly left itself open to finish up a full season and then be brought back for another season. There was certainly plenty of openings for that. But it did bring some closure to a few things during that 13 run. So I kind of like that. But it was really obvious, you know. It says, first we put out the pilot. And it was obviously a pilot. And then it goes to, and they say, okay, well, we're going to give you a 13, so go ahead and produce another 13, or, you know, another 12. And so you pull together that much of it. But he made it so that if that's as far as it went, there was a little bit of closure to it. You didn't feel like, you know, you didn't feel like you just got chopped off at that point, you know. So we'll see how Commander-in-Chief does. I think I'm only on episode like 6 or 7. So I'm sure those who really love the show will say, oh no, it didn't even start getting good yet. And it's true, you know, that most TV shows, their biggest problems are you going to be flying here, little buddy? No? Okay, well, you just hang in there. Don't get weird. You're alright. Nobody's going to kill you today. I mean, the animals are going to get you later. But hopefully they'll be quick about it and kill you good. Hey dog, there's a bird down here, you should eat him. You're a pup. There's a bird right there. Go eat him. You like birds? Okay, fine. We're not communicating. That's all right. The dog was carrying the bird before. I just went past the little bird that was having problems. So, anyway. It's a warm day. I hear it's going to get in the 50s today. It's not quite there yet, but it's a pleasant day. It's not, you know, it's not just stark raving cold or nasty. Totally clear sky all the way around. I don't see one cloud in it, not in any direction. Amazing. Happens here quite often. Anyway, so. So we'll kind of see what happens with Commander-in-Chief. I feel a little bad for Gina Davis. I'm sure she's a nice enough person. She was a co-executive producer on here. You know, they they had to give her some enticement to get her to do this show. And we'll kind of see how it runs. But, you know, sad also that I don't think it didn't make it very long, very far. But so far, you know, and every show, it takes, you know, usually their first season just, it takes the first season just to kind of settle out exactly how it's going to go, you know. Get your characters worked out, how they're going to be. Get everybody kind of settled into characters and what you can have them do and stuff like that. I think too quickly, other stuff started happening. Okay. Psychic.